Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe.
You have enough in the tank right now, 5-on-5. Talent-wise, just work on the holes to get back to that level at the top of just beyond the power play success?
I think that's the area that we're going to have to make sure we're executing at, in the style Marco wants to play. If there's a deficiency of any club starting the year, you point to that and say, hey, this group's going to have to work hard to score goals and put it together. They're all capable. Arvey's capable of scoring 20 goals. Geek's now capable of scoring 30. That doesn't mean I'm anointing them at the high sides of their careers. But I do believe when you put the whole group together and what they're capable of doing, we'll score enough if we play the right way. And we'll defend a hell of a lot better. And I expect our goaltending to be significantly better.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Are you ready for some juice, Bego?
Juice?
Yeah, you heard him. Actually, sorry, we'll play that one coming up from Don Sweeney. But they're ready to add some juice. They're ready to increase scoring.
Is the juice in the room with us?
No. We don't. Top 5 Friday is normally, on a Friday. We could do top 5 juices if you wanted.
How about top 5 forwards? Because right now, what do you have? 3, maybe 4?
Yeah, you certainly don't have 5. They could fill out a bottom 6 very, very easily. Is what they could do. But yeah, not a top 5. Bruins had an underwhelming start to free agency yesterday, and we were reacting to that in real time. My fear now, Mego, is it's not just a start. My fear is that this is it. Like, they were
closer,
like,
to the finish line.
Let's get in. It's day one. Boom, we're done. We're out on free agency, and this is just what that's what they did. They're done.
Fill up the room with warm bodies. These guys, they know how to skate. Throw them out there. They're eager to get some pucks on net. Are they going to get the pucks in net? Doesn't look like it. Past performance doesn't indicate that unless you count AHL performance.
Yeah.
But, we got warm bodies out there. And guess what? There's going to be so much competition for the young guys coming up. And you know what else? You got an enforcer. You got a protector for guys who are going to be here 2 years from now because you signed them to a 5-year deal. So you got that going for you.
Yeah. So the two big ones that we mostly reacted to yesterday, the Victor Arvidsson trade that went down right before the start of free agency yesterday, and then the Tanner Janot signing, 5 years, $3.5 million, roughly $3.4 million, is what he's on the books for. And I thought there was a chance the Bruins would make a big splash yesterday. They did, not in the way I expected, and people seem upset about it. So you can discuss all day long, 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe. Mego in for Keefe again today. You can text us at the same number. Interact, Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat there. And watch on YouTube by subscribing to WEEI. You think this is it? Are they done, Mego? I mean, they're pretty much out of cap space. They could make another trade, I guess. They could make a move closer to the start of the year, I guess. I kind of think this is the team.
It's scary if it is. You'd really hope that there'd be some kind of trade that they're going to make, but who would they trade out of this? You'd be insane.
Well, Pastrnak to the Panthers, obviously.
Well, okay. Yeah. But I'm thinking mostly about the guys that they just acquired and that they just signed. And, like, nobody else is going to pick up that Janot contract. That contract is
insane. Oh, no, he's
insane.
Here. He's here.
He's here. They got a great question yesterday, Sweeney, from Chris Mason of Mass Life.
I like his work.
About, hey, why'd you sign this guy? Like 20 minutes into the press conference, excuse me, why did you sign this guy to 5 years? It's like, well, we got these young guys coming up. We've got some young skill players, and they're going to need some protection when they're here somewhere between 2 and 3 years from now. So we had to keep that guy around. I mean, that contract makes no sense, especially when you had Trent Frederick and he wasn't for the future. You wanted to go out and spend money on this guy? Like, that makes no sense to me. You're not going to move on from that. So Bruins fans should be ready to go out and buy a sweater for that guy because he's not going anywhere. But otherwise, I don't know what you're going to do, because where is the scoring going to come from? I guess you're just going to hope that Geeky is a 33 goal guy again. And I saw Sweeney patting himself on the back for saying, yeah, it was very early in free agency. A lot of guys re-signed with their teams. There was a lot of flurry of activity, and we took Geeky off the board. So how about that? It's like, oh, good job. Like, you did the one thing. How about the players elsewhere in the league? This is what you're supposed to be good at, Sweeney. Like, we gave you okay grades on the draft for the most part. Everybody's looking around and saying, like, okay, when that kid comes up, we're excited about him. Higgins, nice job. He fell to 7. Maybe he's a little undersized. But this free agency was just like, excuse my language, it's just kind of like a wet fart. Like, it just was not.
Oh, my goodness. It's an early... early wet fart right out of the gate here.
It was gross.
Had to dump something 10 minutes in.
It wasn't great. We were doing some of this yesterday. Bruins cap space does a good job just kind of giving you an overview, not just on what they have remaining in cap space, a little less than $3 million, but just like a snapshot of what the lines would look like. I don't know if we want a Bulls music this, Nick.
Yeah, but let's add a little drama to it.
It is. Okay, your top line for the Bruins.
Ooh, give it to me.
Elias Lindholm, centering Morgan Geeky and David Pastrnak.
All right. I like that. That's good. Lindholm, maybe he'll be better.
Line two. Casey Mittelstadt in between.
What?
Pavel Zacha. And Victor Arvidsson.
Arvidsson's looking good now after the rest of the moves yesterday. He's looking like a blue chip.
Hopefully you have Victor Arvidsson from 3 years ago. Third line, Sean Corrali, fan favorite, in between Tanner Jeannot and Matthew Patra. Your fourth line, I can't say these names.
Wait, which fourth line?
Your second fourth line, M. Essamont. M. Hustantinov and M. Kastelic. It's pretty good. Those are good forward lines, I would say, for the Bruins. Back end looks okay. I don't mind the
Oh, you like the back end?
I don't mind the goaltenders. My preference is the back end. Lindholm, yeah. McAvoy, Zadorov, Yoki Haru, Lauri, and Peak. That's at least representative. Those lines are gross. And they had money to spend yesterday. There were names to go get, right? Is Ehlers still available? Yes. He hasn't signed yet, right?
Yeah. So, like, I understand if you looked at Ehlers and you said, we're not going to totally overpay this guy. It's going to be a bidding war. We need more pieces. We can't go all in like $9 million per year on that guy. But he's just hanging out there. So why wouldn't you go and get somebody who's actually gonna do something? I mean, Arvidsson yesterday, who had the scouting report of Jeannot, who doesn't do much with the puck.
Jeannot.
Do much with the puck when has it. No, Arvidsson actually had a good year a couple years ago.
I believe it was
You could get something from that if he gets past whatever injuries he had over the last couple seasons. But when you bring on a guy, you need scoring power, and you bring on a guy whose scouting report is doesn't do much with the puck.
I think it was worse. I think it was doesn't do anything with the puck. Hang on, I'm scrolling for it. Keep going. But I will find it for you. I think it was even worse than that. I think it was does nothing with the puck or something like that. I'll find it. But, yeah, it was not very friendly. However, Don Sweeney is promising that the Bruins will, well, add a little something on the ice this year that they were missing a year ago.
Last week, that we were going to put together a competitive team with bringing some juice back in here.
Nice.
And that applies to bringing our, you know, the elevating our current guys and them feeling reinvigorated coming off of some injuries in a very down year. And, you know, just the responses I've had from those guys and realizing how excited some of these guys are to get here. And maybe it is from the bottom up, but the juice is coming and we expect to be a much more competitive team.
Can we have a timeline for the juice's arrival? When can we expect the juice? Just an ETA. I know it's holiday weekend. It's going to be wonky travel out there. Is the juice going to be here this year, next year, the year after that? Like, should we just say no juice this year, but it's coming?
You like it, the juice. So that's something they're going to be bringing to the table this year. Tanner Janot, by the way, again, 5 years, $3.4 million. This was the Jay Fresh hockey read on him.
Yes.
I like this because I don't pretend to understand how I even read the chart he puts out. But this is on our radar yesterday. He's a physical, low-event depth winger who does practically nothing with the puck and punishes opposing players who try to do things with it. Now,
they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
It's a versatile drop, Nick. It is a versatile drop. And so, look, I could see him becoming a bit of a fan favorite. Like, Bruins fans love somebody who's going to knock the snot out of somebody else and drop the gloves. But you didn't need to spend five years on it. No, well, you didn't need to spend, not that kind of contract.
Why is Sweeney so obsessed with that guy?
Well, do you think it's Sweeney? Or do you think it's Cam?
I mean, okay, whatever. I'll lump them in together because if it's Cam, Sweeney is enacting it, and they're both staying here. So if he's going to go out, they're going to go out swinging their own way. It's just that I think the needs of this team were pretty clear. And you can say that free agency wasn't ideal, that the market was going to dictate tougher decisions. But it's kind of tough then when you have Ehlers just hanging out there and you decided to go quantity over quality. That's what it looks like so far. And even in the quantity, the way that they're trying to spin it, they're telling you there's going to be so much competition. And when you come in and play for Sturm, like, you know, it's a fair shot across the board. You're going to have to earn your place in there. And if that means you knock out a vet, you knock out a vet. And it's like, knock out a vet? I mean, some of these guys, like, aren't even making over $2 million a year. So what's the great challenge there?
Well, it's a little reminiscent of the Patriots wide receiver room, right? It's like, oh, it's going to be competitive. There's a lot of guys in there. It's like, yeah, I mean, I guess they all stink. So whoever wins, what's the diff?
Like, competitive to find your parking spot because there's so many there? Like, okay, yeah, that's fine. You can say that you're trying to build. I get it. Like, if they're saying they're trying to build up from the ground up this new culture, and this is they're trying to bring these young guys up, and there's going to be competition. It's just, don't tell me then the juice is coming, because I'm wondering where the juice is coming from. What's the squeeze here? This isn't, what kind of juice is this? This is not juice.
Just to correct the text line, OJ will not be playing for the Bruins. That's not what Sweeney was referencing yesterday.
Sure?
Well, he's no longer with us. Is it another lost season?
Could it be like a sixth man scenario?
Is this another lost season? And can they afford another lost season? Last season, by the end, I mean, I feel like no one was watching the team. They dropped off a cliff at the end of the year. This doesn't feel like a team that early on people are ready to embrace or excited about. If they win hockey games, we'll all get on board. Like, I understand that. Can they afford a lost season? Is this looking like a lost season?
It's hard. Like, it's very early. So they could still flip something, make some move. You look across the roster, and where is there an upgrade from last year? Like, I know that they're patting themselves on the back for bringing Geeky back.
Well, they went from one fourth line to three. So they've upgraded their fourth line.
How can you look at the team and say that they're better than last year? The only things that you can really count on is, okay, Swayman's going to get back to himself. But it's almost... that's like equivalent to when you're looking at the trade deadline for baseball and you say so-and-so is coming back from injury. Like, okay, you're just hoping that your goalie gets right?
I mean, in fairness, you hope that, yeah, he has a better year. I don't think that's an unreasonable thing to bank on. Do you?
But Swayman's is that enough better to say that you're a playoff team?
Oh, maybe not.
This roster?
It might not be that. But they didn't have McAvoy at the end. You hopefully have a healthy McAvoy. What is he? I don't really know. Is he the top five Norris guy that he was a few years ago? Or is he something different? But you hope you have a healthy McAvoy. You hope you have a better year from Swayman. Like, those are two things that I don't think is unreasonable to bank on.
No, but it's still all that included. This looks like the beginning of a longer rebuild. If you thought that, look, we talked about yesterday, not so unreasonable for the Bruins to be in the playoffs next year. If this is closer to the end than the start of what they're doing, and with just, what, $2 million left in cap space or whatever it is at this point, I don't really know what more they're going to do that's going to make them look dramatically different.
Well, and when you feel better, and maybe not, you can correct me if I'm wrong, 617-779-7937. I would feel better anyway if they just, Victor Arvidsson's got 1 year on his deal. You know, you bring in Sean Corrali on a 1 year deal and you look at it and go, okay, they are going to spackle this together for a year. And then next year, they're really going to try to cash in on McDavid, or they're going to make a big move.
Do you think that's real?
No, I don't, but I'm saying,
because that's how people are fooling themselves right now.
But you can't, because Geno just signed a 5 year deal.
Yeah.
So if they were consistent with a bunch of short term deals and they're trying to just piece it together for a year, and there looks like there's a larger plan and more of a commitment to a rebuild, well, then fine. You might not want to wait for the rebuild, but at least that looks like a plan. Yesterday looked scattershot. It's like, over here, we're bringing in a guy on a 1 year deal. Over here, we're signing a guy on a 5 year deal. Over here, we're talking about bringing in a bunch of fourth liners. Over there, we're talking about the youth coming up. And it's all over the map. There didn't seem to be a cohesive plan.
What's the philosophy? Like, what are they going to be? And it looks like, even when you try to relate it to what they did in the draft, as you said, you're excited. Okay, if they're moving the direction that it looks like modern hockey is moving in, which is maybe a little bit smaller, but these skilled players, and so your pick is that. But then you decide that you need to go bring in this guy on a 5 year deal because he has to, like, protect the little ducklings that you're bringing up. It's very weird. I don't know if you're a Bruins fan, how you don't look at free agency and feel disappointed, because it just is not what, with the amount of space that you had, I think what anybody really expected. Again, understand it wasn't an ideal market, but how do you look at the roster and say that it's better today than it was at the end of the season?
Okay, answer that question on the phone, 617-779-7937. Bruins kind of feel like they're done. Free agency came yesterday with some underwhelming moves, and this kind of looks like it. Are we staring down a lost season for the Bruins? Are they done? And how do you feel about it? Again, 617-779-7937. We're going to talk. It kind of feels that way. We're going to talk to Scott McLaughlin at high noon. Get some Bruins insight from Scott McLaughlin of WEEI.com. Obviously, lots of Bruins thoughts. We'll get to the Celtics in free agency. Al Horford's still available. Is that actually a good sign for the Celtics that he hasn't signed anywhere yet? Plus a look at the Eastern Conference. Where do the Celtics fit in there? We have Would You Rathers on a Would You Rather Wednesday at 11:30. And it's a bit of an early exit for us today because we have Red Sox pregame starting at 1:30 with the suspended game last night. So we'll mix in some Sox thoughts as well. And let's get back into the Bruins. Marco Sturm, I didn't really like the hiring in the first place. Now it turns out he's picking players for the Bruins as well, it seems. We'll get into that right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Shaw's and Stop Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. Last night's Red Sox game against the Cincinnati Reds was suspended due to rain. The game will resume today at 2:30 in the top of the fourth, where the Red Sox have a 2-1 lead. Brian Bay will be on the mound for the Sox. Pre-game coverage with Dan Ball begins at 1:30 right here on 93.7. The series continues tonight. First pitch is at 7:10. You can hear the call of the game with Sean McDonough and Will Middlebrooks on 93.7. And across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, Shaw is perfecting the art of fresh. Nick Martinez will get the start for the Reds. The Red Sox have yet to announce who their starter will be. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Joe Weil at 6:10. According to Shams Charania, the Boston Celtics have signed former Minnesota Timberwolves forward Josh Minot to a 2-year, $5 million contract. And forward Sean Corrali is returning to the Boston Bruins on a 2-year contract worth $3.7 million. Want to win free groceries and epic Boston sports and concert prizes? Enter the Shaw's and Stop Market Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes. Just spend $50 or more and check your receipt for your entry code. It's that easy. Official rules at GrandSlamSummerSweeps.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Hate doing cardio?
try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have enough in the tank right now, 5-on-5, talent-wise, just work, enough goals to get back to that level that you're talking about, just beyond the power play success?
I think that's the area that we're going to have to make sure we're executing at, in the style America wants to play. If there's a deficiency of any club starting the year, you point to that and say, hey, this group's going to have to work hard to score goals and put it together. They're all capable. Arvey's capable of scoring 20 goals. Geek's now is capable of scoring 30. That doesn't mean I'm anointing the high sides of their careers. But I do believe when you put the whole group together and what they're capable of doing, we'll score enough if we play the right way. And we'll defend a hell of a lot better. And I expect our goaltending to be significantly better.
High noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Keefe. We got Pure Pucks with Scott McLaughlin. WEEI.com. A reminder, you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. A lot of ways to catch Jones and Keefe every day here on WEEI. Scott McLaughlin, what's up?
What's going on, guys? Lots is up. Development camp, free agency, big trade for Victor Arvidsson. Very exciting stuff.
How would you, let's put a grade on it. How would you grade Bruins free agency one day in? Feels like they're done. I think it's a good time to grade it. So how would you grade it?
D. Ooh. C minus. I don't know.
No, C minus
would be the max.
Go with your first instinct. D. I like that. Yeah. So you graded a D. Why?
D minus.
They didn't address the single biggest need, which is a bona fide top six score. Now, we can get into why. Like, there wasn't much out there. The entire free agency market dried up before it even started because everyone just re-signed with their current teams. But nonetheless, that was a need that needed to be addressed and wasn't, unless Victor Arvidsson just magically finds the fountain of youth and plays like he did in Nashville in, 2018.
So you said there wasn't much out there. I think that's a fair categorization, but somebody who's still out there is Nikolai Ehlers. Are we saying that right? We've been going back and forth.
Yeah, Ehlers, okay. Yep.
Ehlers, why did he seem to not be a candidate for them to sign?
So I don't think he would have come to Boston. I think it was Frank Saravalli who had a report yesterday that he was looking at warmer weather markets. Didn't want to be in a big media market. So that takes out Boston on both fronts. I think the Bruins knew they were not going to be able to get him, so they weren't going to wait around.
So those between he and Besser re-upped in Vancouver, there wasn't a lot out there. Why Arvidsson and why Janot?
Great question. Arvidsson, because he was cheap to get. It only took a fifth-round pick because the Oilers had to move salary. He's had two tough years. 2 years ago, he was off to a really good start with the Kings, and then he had a back injury, a lower body injury. Last year, he missed some time taking a shot off the foot and just didn't have a very good season in Edmonton. 15 goals in 67 games. He ends up kind of in and out of the lineup at the end in the playoffs. Just didn't click. He kind of talked about that when we talked to him yesterday and said he feels like he has a lot more to give and he can bounce back, and the Bruins need that. But the reason they got him is because he was available and he was cheap, and he is at least a middle six winger, which is something they desperately needed. Janot, I don't really get that one. I know why they did it.
So, because, hey, just to interrupt, do you not get why they went after him as a talent, or do you not get the contract, like the term on the contract in particular?
I get why they went after him as a player, that the style he brings. He is one of the most physical players in the NHL. He's, I think I looked it up, over the last 4 years, I believe he's sixth in the NHL in hits, and he's second in fighting majors. So he'll drop the gloves as well. So I get that they wanted a little more of that in their bottom six. They want guys who can protect some of the young players that they're going to have to turn to at some point. 5 years for him is just way too much. I mean, this is a guy who, yeah, 4 years ago had, you know, a breakout season and looked like he was going to become sort of one of the premier modern power forwards, and then he hasn't scored more than 7 goals in any of the last 3 seasons. Like, you know, he had, what, 12, 13 points last year? I mean, that's a fourth liner that you just gave 5 years and $3.4 million a year to. I don't think that's where you allocate resources on your roster, no matter how much you like the toughness that he brings.
I think we all agree that it seems like they ignored the biggest need that they had, which was, as you said, is top line scoring, or just at least putting together a second line. So what do you think the philosophy that they have with building the team is right now? Are they looking at next year? Are they punting on next year? What do they think that they're rolling out there with?
They claim they're not punting on next year. They claim that they want to be back in it. I don't really see how that happens with this current roster. I always thought this was going to be a little bit longer of a process. You don't sell the way that they sold at the deadline and then bounce right back the next summer. It just doesn't happen. Like, look at teams that sell to the extent that they sold. If you're lucky, it's 2 to 3 years. Like, that's if things go well, you might be back in it in 2 years. They just had too much to do this offseason, but I think what their philosophy was we are at least going to be harder to play against. We are at least going to be a harder out every night. We might lose 2-1, but we're not going to have those 5-1, 6-1 losses that happened way too often next season. They don't want to get embarrassed. And, like, that's obviously an extremely low bar.
Yeah, that standard is don't be embarrassing, but still lose.
Obviously, they don't want to lose.
Put that on a t-shirt. Bruins 2025. Put that on a t-shirt.
That's me putting my own opinion on it, on how this season's probably going to go, is I think they're going to play a lot of low-scoring games and lose by one goal a lot. But their thinking is, okay, Marco Sturm's coming in. Part of what he's being tasked with is reform our defensive structure, which was there for about a month after Joe Sacco took over last year and otherwise was completely absent. They had no structure last season. They were a mess more nights than not. So they want to reestablish that. They want to be more physical. And they think they want Jeremy Swayman to bounce back. They want their defense to be better. They just want everyone kind of on the same page and have a foundation to build off. And then I guess at some point next year, they're going to add the talent on top of it. That's the hope.
I'm sorry, because you are the hockey expert, but you also cover other sports here. Doesn't this feel a little Patriots 2024-ish, 2023-24? Like, it feels a little like, to borrow a term from our friend Tommy Curran, a breakfast ball. Like, they're saying, we're bringing in our new coach. We understand you can't fix everything in 1 year. We're not doing a ton in free agency. We're bringing in bodies. We're re-signing some of our guys that we had last year on a dreadful team. And don't worry, it's going to be a longer process. Not to mention bringing in somebody who was a former player who's now a first-time NHL head coach.
Yeah, I think there are similarities there to the Patriots, but I think what their hope is, and we'll see if Marco Sturm and his staff are capable of this, their hope is that last year was the Gerard Mayo year where everything's kind of just a mess, and Marco Sturm is their version of Mike Vrabel, where at the very least it's going to be a professional program and guys are going to be ready to go and ready to work, and there's going to be a clear vision in place starting day one of training camp. That's the hope. As you said, Marco Sturm is a first-time NHL head coach. So whether he's actually capable of that, we're all about to find out.
Does he have input on picking players? Like, I know Sweeney is ultimately in charge of that, but did he have input on Arvidsson and to a lesser degree, Janot? I don't know how much they overlap, but he definitely overlapped with Arvidsson.
Yeah, he definitely overlapped with Arvidsson, so I'm sure there was some input. You know, ultimately, you're not – Sweeney's not making final decisions based on what coaches are telling him, but, yeah, if someone's played for that coach before, they're going to consult him. I think in Marco Stone's introductory press conference, he mentioned – needing a better transition game, needing more cleaner offensive zone entries. And that is something that Victor Arvidsson can help with. Like, he's a good transition player. He's a good skater. He can gain the offensive blue line. He shoots a ton, which has been another point of emphasis for them. Even going back to late last season, Don Sweeney would talk about being shot ready and needing to shoot more. And, like, we all saw that. How many periods did they have? One, two shots on goal. And it's like, someone's got to shoot the puck. So they did bring in some guys who at least shoot the puck. Now, not really elite finishers. We'll see how many goals they score, but they're at least going to shoot more.
So when you look at the process that the Bruins are in right now, let's say whatever the 100% mark of putting together the full roster for the first game of the season, what percentage in that process would you guess that they're at right now?
I think they're pretty close. Like, they're probably not doing a whole heck of a lot the rest of the offseason. There might be some moves here and there. They have about $2 million in cap space. They could still entertain trading Jonas Korpisalo. That could free up another $2 million if they go with Michael DiPietro as the backup. And, like, maybe you can use that to make one more move, sign.
But who's going to be out there at that point? Like, what's going to be left to free up cap space a couple of months from now?
So, like, there are going to be teams that need to clear some cap space just to finalize their roster. Like, the Florida Panthers is going to be one of them. Right now, they're over the cap.
So you're saying trade, like a trade, scraps and free agency,
see who needs to move out some salary, what's available, and maybe you take on a $3 million guy or something. So, like, that could be another third liner. But it's not, I don't think, I would be pretty shocked if there is a big move coming for, like, that top six guy that we're talking about.
Nice. Well, good. Get excited for the Bruins. How real was the Marchand reported interest on the Bruins end?
Real. I think they were interested. I don't know what they would have offered for a contract, or, you know, how serious they would have been about being the highest bidder, but they wanted to talk to him.
What do you make of him? I know, you know, state taxes come into this, Florida versus Massachusetts. I understand that. But what do you think of him taking $5.5 million or whatever it was AAV over 6 years from Florida, as opposed to what the Bruins were offering him here at the end? Sounded like something in the vicinity of 3x6. Maybe he wanted closer to 7. He turned down the Bruins then. He took this now from Florida. What do you think of that?
I think all that really mattered for him was the total value of the contract. So he's getting $32 million. I think if he had gone to market, the price would have been something around 4 years, $8 million a year. So same total value. This is going to be his last contract almost no matter what. And obviously now that it's 6 years, it definitely is, because it locks him up until he's 43. So I think he was willing to work with the Panthers on a lower AAV if they throw on all the extra years and he gets the money anyways.
Do you think he's actually going to play out the full contract?
I can't see it. I mean, he's a workout freak. Like, he keeps himself in shape. He said before he wants to play into his 40s. So I think he'll play 3 or 4 years of it, but he's not the kind of player that tends to play till 43. Like, that would surprise me.
Circling back to the draft and what the Bruins did, particularly at the top, what'd you think of the Hagans pick?
Loved it. I think it was best player available. I wrote it leading up to the draft that best case scenario was going to be Hagans falling to them, because that had become sort of a big talking point leading up to the draft, that he might slide. You know, Chicago at 3, Utah at 4, they were looking for bigger players because they already have, you know, a little bit of a smaller number one center for both those teams. And then it was, well, Nashville and Philly might like Hagans, but they might like other guys. And all of a sudden it seemed something that would have been impossible to predict even a month and a half ago suddenly seemed like a very realistic possibility. And I think it's, if you're the Bruins, like, it's the best you could have hoped for. It's very lucky for them to have had the ping pong balls bounce against them, slide two spots in the draft order, and still end up with the player that, in my mind and in a lot of experts' minds, was still clearly one of the top five players in the draft.
So what do you think his timeline looks like in terms of him going back to BC for a year, maybe being in Providence? When do you think in this very early stage you would project him to actually be with the Bruins?
I think he should go back to BC for a sophomore season. I think he probably will, although that's not finalized yet. But yeah, he should be one of the best players in college hockey this year if he goes back. BC will have another really good team. It's a good situation. And I would expect that if he goes back, he has the kind of season everyone expects. He signs after the season and probably gets his first NHL games in April before the end of the regular season.
So why did he fall to seven? Like, why? Like, it's great that he was there at seven, and you call it a best-case scenario. Why did so many teams pass on him if it's such a no-brainer?
Because he's 5 foot 10 and a half and not 6 feet, which is a magic number in NHL teams' eyes. I think if he was 6 feet, he probably goes third or fourth, and no one thinks twice about it. Like I said, like, Chicago has Connor Bedard at the top of their lineup. They didn't want another under 6 foot center. Utah has Logan Cooley under 6 feet. They didn't want another one. So it's like teams have this idea that you can only have one center under 6 feet on your roster, apparently. So they pass on him. Nashville goes for physicality with Brady Martin. Philly goes for the wing with Porter Marton. So that's the biggest one. I mean, he doesn't have the size. Like, yeah, he maybe didn't have the freshman year at BC that people expected, in the sense that it wasn't Macklin Celebrini or Jack Eichel, but he was still a point per game. That is still a really good season for, this can't be emphasized enough, an underage freshman. He should have been a senior in high school last year. He was a freshman at BC playing in the toughest conference in the country.
Just very smart.
And he was
smart.
A point per game.
Was it just very smart? He got accelerated?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
That's the NHL draft track. Well, that kids
well,
take.
As bad as free agency appears to be for the Bruins, you graded it again a D. You're locked in on that, Scott. So as bad as that appears to be, I like their draft because they felt like they got out of their comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And drafting a high-end offensive player, even if they're undersized, that's been a blind spot for them. You just said it. They don't have a lot of high-end skill. Outside of Pastrnak, they don't have it. And so getting away from, oh, we need a defensively responsible two-way guy, or we need a guy who has size. He needs to be 6'6", or something like that. You know, getting away from that, I think, was promising. I don't know when we're going to see the returns on that. I don't know if Sweeney's going to get to see the returns on that, but I think that was promising. That I felt good about.
Yeah, it was a noticeable change. And both Sweeney and Ryan Nato, their director of amateur scouting, noted that. Like, said, like, yeah, we were able to take some swings on offensive upside, and that is a refreshing change for them, because it's something they've done so infrequently. You're right. Like, they would constantly draft, you know, the two-way responsible player. They might take a chance on size, like a Dean Letourneau. But, yeah, they went for skill. Like, Higgins is all skill. Will Moore, their second-round pick, is a skill player who, again, dropped to them, and they, to their credit, were smart enough to say, yeah, we'll take him. Top guy ranked in the top 40, he's there at 51. Sure, like, we'll take a shot. The defenseman they drafted looked like reaches, like, based on rankings, but they're offensively skilled guys. You know, and Sweeney said, like, we can teach them defense. That is just a refreshing change to hear, because usually it's like, well, we'll take the defensive guys, and then
they'll learn offense.
Hope they learn offense. Right. And it almost never happens. Like, if a guy isn't producing at lower levels, usually they don't learn offense as they get older.
Yeah, no, it's refreshing to do something like that, where you say, oh, a player dropped to us based on the rankings, let's take him, as opposed to, oh, we're going to take Zach Senyshyn at pick 15. So that's Scott McLaughlin, WEEI.com. You can check out his work there. Scott, if you could, just say pure pucks for me. Can you say that?
Pure pucks.
Nice. Pure pucks with Scott here on Jones and Keefe. Mego in for Keefe. We'll get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. More on the Bruins and their underwhelming start. Or is it all of their free agency, right after Trending with Billy Laney?
Now, Here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by the Prudential Center, located in the heart of Back Bay. Features over 70 shops and eateries. Discovery at the center of it all. Last night's Red Sox game against the Reds was suspended due to rain. The game will resume today at 2:30 in the top of the fourth, where the Sox have a 2-1 lead. Brian Bayo will be on the mound for the Sox. Pre-game coverage with Dan Ball begins at 1:30 right here on 93.7. The series will continue tonight. First pitch is at 7:10. You can hear the call of the game with Sean McDonough and Will Middlebrooks right here on 93.7. And across the Shaw's and Style Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Nick Martinez gets the start for the Reds. The Red Sox have yet to announce who their starter will be. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Joe Weil at 6:10. According to Sham Sharania, the Celtics have signed former Timberwolves forward Josh Minot to a 2-year, $5 million contract, and forward Sean Corrali is returning to the Bruins on a 2-year deal worth $3.7 million. Heading to Fenway for the game? Park in the Prudential Center's garage for just $25 for night and weekend games. Located in the heart of Back Bay, shop, dine, and discover all Prudential Center has to offer, including the View Boston Observation Deck. Just a short walk over to Fenway from the Pru. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long!
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shime, I love it. That is Muse. Am I correct about that?
You are, Greg. That's Muse with Uprising.
Okay. Leeds brought to you by Subaru, and Subaru Summer is finally here. So find your Subaru at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Good morning, Shime.
Morning, Greg. So yesterday, NHL free agency began around noontime, and it wasn't a very titillating class of free agents, I'll say that. But the Boston Bruins did their best to disappoint you as many ways as they possibly could. They signed a litany of bottom six forwards. They now have on their roster Frazier Minton, Matthew Patra, Murat Husnadinov, Victor Arvidsson, Johnny Beecher, Tanner Janot, Mark Kaslick, Sean Corrali, Michael Acimont, and Fabian Lysell. All bottom six forwards at this current point in time.
Right.
One of them will actually end up having to play right wing on your second line, which is insane.
Well, they're hoping that they got them heading into an up year, which means they may have 9 to 10 goals.
Oh, awesome.
Per.
Well, that would be an improvement for Tanner Janot. This is the one I'm pissed about, Greg. I could not get over this contract yesterday. 5 years, $3.5 million a year for a guy who does nothing but hit people. Did they not learn their lesson? Last time.
Was he average 7 goals?
Yes! He had one season where he had 20 goals in Nashville 5 years ago.
Wow.
The Lightning then traded the world for him, and he has sucked ever since. He has had, at maximum, 7 goals in a single season. He had 13 points last year, and you gave him $3.5 million. You could have, instead, gone a little bit younger, gotten a guy who had close to 30 points last year, and a guy like Andrew Mangiapane. Like, that would have been a better opportunity for you. Maybe a guy who could take a step in the right direction, similar to what you did with Morgan Geeky 2 years ago. Instead, you have one line. It is Geeky, Pasternak, Lindholm. And then after that, it's a disaster. It is your second line right now, I think, would be Pavel Zacha, Casey Mittelstadt, and probably Victor Arvidsson. Like, that's what you're looking at right now. And you just, I understood the idea of giving 1 or 2 year cheap money contracts to a lot of lower level guys. It is a reset year. You want to get those contracts off the book going into the following year, so 2026, 27, so that you can sign free agents in a better free agent class.
Go after McDavid.
But then why are you giving Tanner Janot $3.5 million? This guy sucks. I don't know what we're doing. You don't pay fighters anymore in the NHL. You need to get faster. You need to be able to score. He does neither of those things.
They are banking, I believe, on all of the improvement coming from Jeremy Swayman. Don Sweeney alluded to that yesterday.
He's just a worse version of Trent Frederick. This is what infuriates me. And Jeremy Swayman should be better. You're absolutely right. And Don Sweeney in that regard should be right. But it's just like, I look at these guys and I'm like, at least with Michael Acemont, 2 years, $1.45 million. And he shoots the puck a zillion times. That's fine with me. Like, it's a guy who takes shots. He's pretty fast. Like, he's going to be a fourth liner, but who cares? Like, it's cheap money, and he's going to at least take shots, which is what you need. This team sucks. How many times last year did we go into a game, and we were getting outshot like 40-20? It's infuriating. I don't understand the Tanner Janot obsession. I don't know who over there, whether it's Sweeney or Cam Neely, who wants to be this big, bad, physical team. You're not that. You can't be that in today's NHL. Nope. Look at the Florida Panthers. They're one of the fastest teams in the league, and they're constantly on your ass on every PK and in every offensive zone. That's what you need.
But goal scorers.
But that's what your identity has been built on forever, the big, bad Boston Bruins.
But it wasn't. In 2019, it was. Wasn't when you went to the Stanley Cup, and then it wasn't again when you were the best team in NHL regular season history. You were skilled, you were fast, and then for whatever reason, just because you fell flat on your face in the playoffs, you pivoted away from that, and it's now become an issue.
And now this year they're going to be just remove the big.
Yeah. Curtis is probably right.
Shime, thank you. Curtis, good morning.
As the meteorologist of this radio station, the most decorated meteorologist in New England, I take this story very personally. We love the Wind World of Boston. The domed NFL stadiums, a quiet story under the radar that is, I think, going to take so much out of what we love about the NFL away from the sport. As there are currently 10 domed stadiums.
Okay.
The Titans are going to a dome. Yesterday, it was announced the Cleveland Browns will be building an enclosed facility in the Cleveland suburbs, which will bring us to 12. The Jaguars, Bears, and Chiefs are all contemplating going to domes, which would bring you to half of the NFL, because two people share one in L.A. anyway with the Raiders, Chargers and the Rams. So I love, as a guy who maybe has the most famous weather game performance in the history of sports, Wiggy would not be Wiggy if not for snow.
Right.
Because no offense, Wiggs, you were great. You had great hands. You could do things in bad weather. But if it's a speed match inside on a dome, on a turf field, then it's not quite for you.
Well, you're probably wrong about that, because if you look at one statistically, I had my best numbers were inside a dome.
Right.
I played for the
Vikings.
But
that was after everybody saw you in the snow. I don't know if you get to Minnesota, Curtis, if not for the storm.
But Curtis is right. It's a part of the game. It's a part of the sport.
Yeah, I don't need it.
How many times were during snowball games at Gillette were you amazed that they were able to overcome the weather obstacles and win a football game? Like,
football is meant to be played in New England outside. The great quote from Teddy Bruschi in the divisional round after they beat them in the AFC Championship, where he said, if you want to change the rules, change them. Come to New England. It's going to be snowing and we're still going to win. So much of what represented the Colts and the Patriots, one was this high-flying offense that all these, like, you know, but soft as could be. The Patriots were this, you know, hard-working, blue-collar, defensive-oriented, great team. Like,
I think it's more of a fan thing.
That's what the sport's about.
As a player, I like playing in the dome. Like I said, when I played in Minnesota for 3 years, you know, they gave me an opportunity as far as to I mean, I still could have put up the same type of numbers here in New England, but they just never really gave me a chance.
Statistically, I don't know if there's enough data, but is there a clear advantage for teams that play in a dome or not?
If you got
Breslow to put a computer model together on it, do those teams perform better overall than teams that have to deal with the elements?
I think the advantage is for the team that plays outside more so than anything, because the dome team, you get used to the weather always being
and then
nice.
You travel.
And then if you have to go outside, like that was the big thing with Drew Brees when he played, is when you got to go outside and you got to be able to throw the ball in the wind and be able to do some of those other things when the weather's bad. Some of those dome teams, especially the quarterbacks, struggle.
So in the Twitch chat, Curtis, a differing opinion from X Flash, who prefers seeing players at their best skills-wise, and they believe that they see that in a dome.
Yeah, I think seeing players overcome adversity and react to new and different things. Like, the reason every baseball stadium is different is because that's what makes home field advantage. That's what makes Fenway, and you got Wrigley and all these different things. In the NFL, growing up, if you had the Patriots in October, it was different than getting them in mid-December. And that, I really do think Peyton Manning was not as great of a quarterback because his numbers were inflated because of the RCA dome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he was different when he was outside, and you can clearly tell it.
Very interesting lead from you, Curtis. Thank you. We will get to the rest of today's leads next.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
How about the fact that the rest of the Eastern Conference should go into a rebuild, that the Florida Panthers just get their back? I mean, are you surprised? I mean, I'm kind of surprised that all three got done.
I'm not surprised that they wanted to do it, Mike. Some teams are like, we're not going to be able to do it. To me, Bennett was the closest no-doubter, and that one got first. I really thought Marshawn wanted to stay, and he would maneuver things to stay, and that's what happened.
It's Keith here on WEEI. Mego in for Keith today. Brad Marchand said no to leaving Florida. That includes potentially meeting with the Boston Bruins in free agency. Yes, Mego?
Do you think he did this a little prematurely? He hasn't spent an entire summer in Florida yet. Just in terms of the climate.
Like, he doesn't
down
understand
there.
Like the
everybody loves
the
Florida
humidity.
In February.
Yeah, that's true. It's a
everybody
good point.
Goes down to Florida in February from Boston and they go, maybe I should live here.
Yeah, he hasn't
everybody
even,
does that.
Hasn't even had to deal with alligator Alcatraz yet. He hasn't even had to do that yet.
What's alligator Alcatraz?
It's a whole nother story.
You know,
a detention facility down in Florida they're building. Yeah.
You know my feelings on alligators.
Yes.
Totally overrated predators.
Oh, yeah,
you could outrun them. Yeah.
How about that for a take?
All you have to do is zigzag. That's all they can't.
Where
zigzag.
Our president told us that this
where,
morning.
Where are heat wave hot takes? That's a heat wave hot take. You think
what
you could
mean?
Outrun an alligator?
Oh, absolutely, like 1,000%. If there's somebody who has exotic animals in the area and wants me to outrun an alligator, I'll do it for charity.
You'll do it for charity?
Yeah, I can do it. I
for
promise
charity,
you.
You just do it for fun.
No, we have to raise money for this, make it an event. Don't you know anything about how this business works? But we'll do it for charity.
Gemini. Google AI tells me that in a short burst, they can run up to 35 miles an hour.
Okay.
In a short burst.
What's
I don't
a
know how short that
burst?
Is.
Again,
average
it's not
running
about,
speed is around 11 miles an hour.
It's not about running, about how you can just take off. They can't zigzag.
Yeah, well, what if they just get you on the takeoff? What if you can't even get away because they're 35 miles an hour
you
out
make,
of the gate?
You make one hard cut, like your Steph Diggs coming back from that ACL, and the alligator won't know what to do. The alligator, that's why we are the apex predator over the alligators. That's why we've tamed them. That's why we have crocodile hunters.
I do like this.
Otherwise, alligators would be the ones running the planet.
I do like this item from the Google AI. They're built for water.
Yeah, there you go.
Alligators are much more.
I can't outtake them in the water. Like, I can't overtake them in the water.
Alligators are much more agile and faster in the water. Oh, thanks. Reaching
that's
speeds of up to 20 miles an hour in the
water. What?
The water.
All fat kids say that they're great swimmers.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't want to mess with a hippo.
They can be even faster without the shirt on in the pool. But yeah, 11 miles an hour and up to 35 miles an hour. You think you could outrun it?
First of all, they're talking about like the fastest alligator in the world.
Yeah, well, you might.
They're saying that's what they can
reach. The Usain Bolt of alligators?
Yeah. I'm not pretending like I'm the Usain Bolt of
human beings.
Of 30-something women running from alligators.
Right.
But I could outrun an alligator. Your average alligator, you put it out there, I'm going to be more elite than it, especially when I get to cutting.
It's a good point, though. Brad Marchand has not had to experience a full Florida summer.
Yeah.
So touche. Maybe he jumped the gun there. I thought you were going to ask, did he wait out like his offers? I'm sure he knew what was out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knew there was a massive offer from Utah. I'm sure he knew there was a massive offer from Toronto. I'm sure he knew there was a fake offer from Boston. It is funny, though. He took less than Boston was even offering him on the way out the door. And many, many people on the text line pointed this out earlier. And it's a fair thing to point out. With the millionaire's tax here and no, it's fair.
No, it's not.
No state income tax in Florida. The take
home. That's more fair.
Okay, the take home is going to be different. So I get that. But just to play it out, he could have made more money, maybe not a higher take home, but more in salary from the Bruins before he even left. And he's now taking less from Florida.
What was the term on the Bruins, though? What was the term on
the Bruins? I think from what we had heard, it was like 6-3 over 3 years, something like that. He's taken 5.5 over 6.
Well, because that's the really shocking thing about this. It's not that he's going back to Florida. We said yesterday that that was high likelihood that he would even take, if he's taking a deal from anybody, it'd be go back to the Panthers and try to three-peat, try to be part of this historical dynasty in the NHL and have that as a feather in his cap. But for 6 years to be playing till he's 43 years old, like that is a very unusual term. And I wonder if anybody else in the NHL was offering him that. Boston sure as hell could not have been offering him that because they didn't do it before.
Nope.
And do you think that the front office really watched his Stanley Cup run and were like, he's going to come back and do that for us?
No, I never thought that, but I know a lot of Bruins fans were talking themselves
into it. Yeah, but they're fans.
Mego, he has his home in Charlestown. His kid is here. His kids are here. Like, of course he's coming back. He never wanted to leave in the first place. Wrong. Here's what I would say.
Has he had the espresso martini at Prima?
I don't know. Good question. But I would say it just proves that it was bad at the end with Marchand. To me, that's what this proves. Like, he could have taken a discount to come back here. It proves it was bad at the end.
Or it was great in Florida.
He didn't come back. It proves that as well. It was great in Florida. He has another chance at a cup. They're a budding dynasty. So he didn't come back. He wasn't going to come back because it was bad at the end. It was bad between him and Pasta, regardless of what they say. I think he personally forced his way to Florida with his no movement clause. He didn't go out west. I guarantee the Bruins didn't want to send him in the division to the defending cup champs. That's not where they wanted him. They didn't want this scenario where he's shaking his ass in their face and spending a day with the Stanley Cup in our backyards. They didn't want that. They wanted him out west where no one was going to pay attention. He wasn't going to contend. They probably didn't want him with Cassidy in Vegas, but I'm sure the Kings would have been ideal. They would have loved for him to go sign in Utah. So he's out of their face. And he forced his way to Florida. And now he's staying there. And I just think it's more proof that it was bad here. It underscores Keith Scoop was right. And now I wonder what the Bruins are doing this offseason. Free agency is in swing a little bit. We told you earlier, Nikola Ehlers.
Is it Ehlers or Ehlers?
I don't know. I'm probably butchering it. Whatever. But he's one of the top targets out there for the Bruins. I think they took themselves out of the mix for him and Besser with the Arvidsson trade. Bruins swung that earlier. So you have, you hope, a middle six forward, a guy who's been a 30-goal scorer before. They're retaining the full salary. So they go from about $13 million to a little less than $9 million. In cap space. We'll see what else they do. Ehlers sounds like it's going to drag out and maybe play out over a couple of days, according to Elliot Friedman. He also says that Brock Besser is back in Vancouver, which is weird. 7 years, $7.25 million, he is back with the Canucks. So that's a guy who I thought it was bad with him and Pettersson. Nick, wasn't it? It was borderline Marchand and Pasta-esque with those two, wasn't it?
I don't remember which one left the Canucks last year, but so, they like took time away from the team and then came back.
So here's what I wonder. If they're re-signing Besser, does that mean they're going to turn around and flip Pettersson?
Actually, no. I think it got bad with JT Miller.
Oh, was it Miller?
I don't think he's there anymore.
It was Miller. It wasn't Besser. You're right. It was Miller. So, okay. So Besser is back in Vancouver. 7 years, $7.25 million. So never mind. Scratch the Pettersson thing if you were hoping he'd get spun off. But that is the payday there for one of the top targets out there. If you didn't sign Arvidsson, 7.25 feels like you could have been in the mix for that. Other than that, not much happening in free agency to this point.
You still could be in the mix for that.
7.25? I mean, technically, but then...
You're getting close.
You have nothing else left to sign. You need bodies
at some
point.
But this is why even that signing or that trade makes it look like because you're taking on the whole salary, you're going to be collecting a couple of guys like that. You're not going to be going in on one of these guys Like, you're probably not going to be in on Ehlers. You're going to be going in on a couple of these guys to fill out these lines.
Well, and that now tells me exactly that. I mean, that's what the Arvidsson trade said. Right before free agency started, they were going to be out on these top guys, and they were probably never in on any of them to begin with. One other bit of news here, Mego, that just came down. This is from the world of football, college football. Headline, Pro Football Talk. Bill Belichick's boss, Bubba Cunningham, will leave UNC next year. Bill Belichick will have a new boss in 2026. North Carolina AD Bubba Cunningham will leave the school next summer.
She is my muse, my flame.
You remember he's the guy who cut the sleeves off at the press conference,
right? Bubba was all about Belichick.
And he was the chair of the selection committee for the NCAA tournament this year. Bubba Cunningham at UNC. He's going to be replaced by RFK Racing president Steve Newmark.
By what racing president?
RFK Racing president. I don't know what RFK Racing is. Can someone Google that? It's got to be NASCAR or something like that.
So that's just like making sure that there's no food additives in the
there's no oil. No seed oils at Talladega. he'll report to Cunningham.
It's Roush Fenway.
RFK is Roush Fenway?
Yep.
That's what they call it? RFK Roush? Okay.
Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing.
All right. Do some Googling on Steve Newmark. I don't know anything about him. But if he's local,
yes, sir.
If he's local, he might be pro. Sorry about that. He might be pro.
Pop.
He might be pro-Belichick because Cunningham was not. He'll report to Cunningham and focus on driving revenue, primarily for the football team and women's basketball revenue. Team. There's a possible story behind the story, writes Florio.
No way.
About which many will be curious, especially since Cunningham may not have wanted to hire Belichick to coach the football team. Remember, there was some disagreement over bringing in Bill. It was the boosters and people in charge of the NIL cash at North Carolina. Were in conflict with the chancellor, the AD. Like, people were all over the board on Belichick. He says, is this a change Belichick wanted? And did he perhaps engineer it? Obviously, he currently has the power in Chapel Hill, as confirmed by the fact he can write a $1 million check whenever he wants to leave the Tar Heels high and dry. That passed on, what was it, June 1st? Regardless, the power dynamics will be dramatically changing for North Carolina, which means they'll also change for UNC football. So what does it mean for Bill? Maybe Bill's carving out some power at UNC. I thought he was maybe one and done.
I definitely thought he was one and done. So this makes me wonder if he's seeing some kind of longer play there. If he's going to be there for 3 years, then he doesn't want this guy hanging around. And he's basically forced him out after this 1 year.
Right. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Ooh, let's go racing today, boys.
Bill hasn't even coached a game at UNC. You got Jordan stomping all over the field in her boots. And now Bubba Cunningham is out. Bill probably is winning a power struggle down there is probably what's going on.
Do you think
she
overall,
is my muse, my flame.
Overall, this is beneficial to UNC still, right? I mean, they've got so many eyeballs on this program, and it's a basketball school. Even though it looks highly dysfunctional, and this guy seems to be quitting over the situation, it's like a net positive for the school still, right? Like, do you think that people from the school feel like it's become a joke?
Yes.
I think overall it's still a positive for the football program.
I don't know. I mean, let's see, I guess.
I think in today's climate, like, marketing is everything, and this is just constant free marketing.
Yeah, I would. If they're successful on the field, then you'll be right. I mean, a lot is going to be determined, not to be overly obvious.
If you're in the science lab sciences department at UNC, you probably don't love it. But if you're in athletics, you probably think this is putting us in the news all the time.
I mean,
you're going to have more eyeballs on you than ever before
right now. But if he's 4-8, you're going to feel, it's going to feel a lot different. So I mean, not to be overly simplistic, but it matters how they are on the field this year. 617-779-7937. You can discuss the latest on the happenings at UNC. We'll get back to the Celtics and their offseason. What's their move now?
Ugo.
That Cornette is out, and it sounds like Al Horford is on the way out as well. We'll do that with all your phone calls coming up next.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Mego in for Rich. We're taking you up until 2 o'clock. WEEI Afternoons takes over at that point. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. You just heard the news on Luke Cornette. That happened fairly early in NBA free agency last night. He's now a San Antonio Spur. How big of a loss, Mego, is that?
It's a pretty big loss in the sense that it was clear that he was a priority for the Celtics. So it makes you wonder how they're going to maneuver for the big position. Brad Stevens even said a couple days ago, like, Luke Kornet, Al Horford are the priorities, and that led a lot of people and other sources, a lot of people, to believe, okay, they're going to try to flip Anfernee Simons in order to make room because they don't want to be in the repeater tax. They want to cut a certain amount of spending, and then they can re-sign these big free agents. But I thought that Luke Kornet was going to get, like, maybe $8 million. So I don't know the specifics of by year what he's getting through this deal, but even the AAV is pretty big for Luke Kornet. And he's a 6 points per game guy. I love Luke Kornet. He's still more of a backup piece in my mind than on most NBA teams than a starter. You just look at where the Celtics sit today. There's a good chance Al Horford goes out west somewhere. And the Celtics are still either looking at Nemias Keita or Xavier Tillman to be their starting big. And that's a big jump from where those guys played last year.
So I was just going to ask you about Horford. Do you think he's a goner too?
I think most likely he is. Because if Horford is getting, I mean, if rather if Kornet is getting this kind of money, and Horford is signing most likely the last deal of his career, this is going to be a hard place for him to play next year. Like, again, like, it's not anything to disparage these guys' characters or anything. They've won rings with the Celtics. They've earned the ability to go out and get a lot more money somewhere else. A big part of the goal right now is to manage the salaries and manage the taxes here.
And so I think it might be some
that doesn't align with it.
I think that might be some of Horford reading the writing on the wall. It's like, you know, are they completely tearing it down? No. But no Porzingis, no Holiday. Those are two starters. One was in his way for minutes, but that might actually have been beneficial to Horford. And who knows? More pieces could be on the move, as you just said. Hauser, Niang, Simons. And so Horford looks at it and goes, well, do I want to be part of a teardown or do I want to go try to win somewhere? And who can give me the most money? That's not going to be the Celtics, I don't think. So I agree he's a goner. We keep getting this text over and over again. Could be the same person. Could be a bunch of different people. I don't know. But every time we talk Celtics and bigs, we keep getting DeAndre Ayton. As a suggestion, he was bought out and maybe waived by the Portland Trailblazers, which means he's going to be getting his money from Portland. You might be able to get him at a discount, but if there's a market, he could get more money than that. Is that a name you'd be interested in?
I still think he's probably going to be too rich for the Celtics. I think what they're going to be looking for is pretty well, this is just a reading the situation, like pretty well below $10 million. And I'm not sure that he would even land there for you. Some of the other names that are still available, like Mo Wagner, had the team Orlando declined their team option. Larry Nance Jr. would be somebody who could actually spread the floor and be a nice little offensive addition as a big. I think both those guys are still going to be like in that $10 million plus range. And especially if you think that you're going to bring Horford back, you're not even looking at any of those names.
No, that's probably true. If you're carving out money, you're not getting Horford and another big. That's definitely the case. Meanwhile, we were telling you about Milwaukee earlier today. They signed Miles Turner. They waived Damian Lillard to free up cap space to bring in Miles Turner. Now, my inclination was that meant Giannis is going to stay. And I think the betting markets reflected that. As we said earlier, the Bucks zoomed up in terms of championship odds. Chris Haynes, where is he now? Is he Turner? Or is that even a thing anymore? He is, it says senior NBA insider. I don't know where he is anymore. YouTube channel coming soon. Breaking, Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo not pleased with the team's decision to waive Damian Lillard. League sources tell me
Giannis is a child.
Quote, he just didn't like how it was handled, is what Haynes said about Giannis. So I don't know. What do you think all this means? Do you think this leads to Giannis's exit, or do you think Giannis is
massaging relationships?
Yeah, trying to look like the good guy here. He wasn't the one forcing Lillard out. So, hey, let's get it out there through friendly media members. Let's get it out there that, oh, he's actually pissed about it. He didn't like the way it was handled. I can't imagine they sign Miles Turner and waive Damian Lillard and keep Giannis in the dark. I can't imagine they do that, but
that would be a very bold move by the front
office. Maybe
they're
a more poorly run organization than I think.
That would be
that's a Red Sox move.
Extremely.
It is.
That would be extreme miscommunication, I would say, for especially with the position that Giannis has been in the past several months. But I also think that there's this outside perspective from the casual fan who's looking at the situation with Dame Lillard, go, oh my God, that guy had the injury that Jason Tatum had, that Tyrese Halliburton had, and now they're just cutting him loose. So he's just going to go off and rehab on his own somewhere. Like, that's awful. And so I think it's probably Giannis doesn't want to look like he was complicit in that, because just from the outside, from a brand perspective, that looks cutthroat, you know? Like, nobody wants to be in line with that. Even if Dame's getting all this money, it still looks cutthroat.
So I agree. Like, if the Celtics traded Jaylen, and it comes out that Jason Tatum is like, Tatum's not happy with this, and he doesn't like how it was handled. The same exact report, I would assume that the Celtics ran it past Tatum. I would assume that on some level, he signed off on it or was complicit, and he was just trying to damage any backlash he was about to get. So I would assume that with Tatum. I assume the same thing here. My guess is they didn't do this without Giannis' knowledge, and he's just damaging any blow.
If they did,
or getting in front of any damage.
If they did it without Giannis's knowledge, that is a big deal.
Did I ask you this yesterday? I can't remember. You would trade Jaylen for Giannis, yes or no?
You didn't ask me that. I am insane. I don't think I would do it.
You wouldn't do that.
I don't want Tatum coming back with Giannis.
So Keith agrees with you. Keith also wouldn't do that deal. Very few these days I would do for Jaylen.
I still live in a Tatum-centric world. Like, my Celtics revolve around the sun and stars of Jason Tatum. And I don't want Tatum coming back with Giannis. I don't think that's maybe the best situation.
Okay. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phones. Our pal Bob is in Warwick. Hello, Bob.
Bobby?
Hey, Bob. As we learned with Bob yesterday, sometimes Bob...
sounded like he was waiting on a food order there.
Starts a little early. Well, who knows?
The guy is drunk!
Maybe he's at the Clam Shack?
Could be, yeah. I'm not.
Maybe he's up in Essex at Woodman's.
That would be a nice spot. I've been there. I think I've only been there once, but lovely time. Yes,
delightful.
We went to I don't even recall what beach. North Shore Beach. I'm sure Bradford would be very snobby about it.
Singing Beach.
Yeah, I don't remember, but we went to the beach and then we went to Woodman's after. Yeah, nice time.
It's a great day.
Took the kid. Great.
Wonderful.
Great little day is what
you guys
that
should
was.
Do a show at Woodman's. Ooh. Loop them in.
Well. Yeah, as long as it's on land, I think
it's
that would
very
be
very inland.
I think that would be approved.
Very safe.
617-779-7937. We got your feedback there. We can circle back to the Red Sox, which is what I know Bob wanted to discuss. And I also want to get this while Mego's here for these few days. I want to get Mego's outlook on the Patriots this season. Expectations for the team, expectations for Drake May. We can do some of that coming up as well next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spin Ball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.